This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at ArenaClub.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
CBS Sports Radio.
Listening to the Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This week blew by really quick for me. I hope it was fast for you. And when you look around, like, there's just, you know, I got to be honest, the NFL slate for this weekend, not the most thrilling thing in the world. It's not like marquee matchup after marquee matchup, but hey, there's always interesting things going on in the NFL. There's some stuff to talk about in the world of college football. Big news with Ohio State. We'll be getting to that to like 20 minutes or so. The NBA is just, there's always something with them too. And God, I mean, they're getting rid of drug testing in the NBA for marijuana. So just a lot of different fascinating things that we're going to be digging into over the course of the evening here. Excuse me, morning. This is a morning show. Now, here's where I want to start. Okay, I'm looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the Steelers, they're 11-0. They're 11-0. Like, one, that's a massive accomplishment. Just to be this far in the season and have nobody beat you is amazing. For the NFL and how difficult that league is year in and year out. I mean, how many times do you look at a schedule before the season and you go, well, this team was bad last year, so they'll probably be bad again this year. And what do you know? Because NFL teams can turn around so quickly, suddenly that team that's really bad is the Miami Dolphins. And you go, uh-oh, this is suddenly a tough game. I didn't expect this, but here we are. This is a tough matchup. So the schedule is a hard thing to predict. The league is very tough to play in. Week to week, a bad team can beat a good team, as much as it can be generally unlikely. So for the Steelers to go 11 weeks into the season and be undefeated is incredible. And it's a credit to them. And you look at the Steelers, and they're admirable in so many ways. I mean, one, Ben Roethlisberger's still doing it at 38 years old, okay? That's an accomplishment. We start to, and we're getting into this space now where I think we're starting to take that stuff for granted, which is a shame. It's an absolute, it's a testament to the sport and how it's changed. It's a testament to these guys and what kind of shape that they keep themselves in, because right now you've got Tom Brady, who's, what, 43? 42. You've got Aaron Rodgers, who's maybe 39 years old. Drew Brees is in his 40s. So you're seeing these older quarterbacks, Philip Rivers. So you're seeing all of these guys, and you go, well, yeah, older quarterback, being 38, they should be able to play. That's where it's starting to shift. It's becoming the expectation rather than an exception. But for Roethlisberger to play the way that he's playing right now at his age is a testament to him as a player. It's why he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's still got it, and good for him. But Mike Tomlin, on his way to being a Hall of Fame coach, right? I mean, Mike Tomlin hasn't had a losing season yet. He's one of the youngest coaches that ever took over a starting position or a head coach position in NFL history. And it just seems like an afterthought. I don't know why, but you look at Mike Tomlin, that guy is without a doubt one of the best coaches in the NFL. He proves it year in and year out, but for whatever reason, it's just like a ho-hum thing. It's never the sexy thing anymore to talk about Mike Tomlin and how great of a job he does, how consistently impressive the Steelers are. I mean, here's one of the things that's so impressive to me when you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Those guys are a wide receiver factory. I mean, just year after year after year after year, they're always finding somebody that's really talented, that really surprises you. And you go back in the years, like, you know, you had Hines Ward back in the day, but then you've got the Mike Wallace era, there's Antonio Brown. Now you're looking at it, it's like Juju Smith-Schuster, Deontay Johnson looks good, Chase Claypool is really good. Like, that place, if you're a wide receiver and you get drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're automatically like an 88 in Madden. You know what I mean? Like, you're just a really good player by virtue of the Steelers looking at you and thinking you can play ball. The second you get drafted, you're automatically good. They're just, year in and year out, they always find guys at that spot. And they do the same thing with the front seven on the defense. I mean, they are just genuinely amazing at drafting and developing talent. And so when you see them do that year after year after year after year after year, and you see Mike Tomlin and the coaching job that he does and the stability that they have in that franchise, when Ben Roethlisberger goes down last season, they still almost sniffed the playoffs. They had something called Duck Hodges playing quarterback for them, and they almost made the playoffs. That's amazing, right? So looking at Pittsburgh and seeing what they've been able to accomplish so far, 11-0, massive credit to them. What a great franchise. I mean, you really can't ask for much better. And when you look through the season, they might go 16-0. They got some tough games on the schedule. They play the Colts at some point. They play the Browns again. The Browns are a pretty good team this year, depending on who you talk to. The Browns are a pretty good team. I like Stefanski. We'll get more into them later. But Steelers could go 16-0 this year. That's totally possible. We're on week 13. They're 11-0. But here's the weird thing about it, right? I'm looking at the Steelers and all of these amazing things. I can't do anything but gush about the Pittsburgh Steelers and how good they are. I have no reason to believe that they're going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. I can't do it. I can't get there. I can't get over that hump. And I love to be an optimistic guy. I like to look at things and go, well, yeah, I mean, I could see it. I can't see it. I can't see it. And it's not just the Steelers. You look at a lot of teams in the NFL. I mean, talking about really good teams in the NFL, and it's hard to believe that anybody realistically has an actual shot to beat the Chiefs when it matters. Can anybody, like, do you really see the Steelers beating the Chiefs in the playoffs? Is that the expectation? Do you think they have at least a pretty good shot? I don't. And for the Chiefs right now, they're not blowing everybody out of the water. But I see Tyreek Hill putting up over 200 yards in the first quarter of a game, like he did last week, which is completely insane and should never happen. But on the list of accomplishments that the Kansas City Chiefs have, that's low on the list. You know what I mean? Like, they find so many ways to generate offense in quick spurts, the ability to just absolutely gut a team and not only put up those points so quickly, but deflate you knowing that, oh my God, not only are they ahead of us by so many, but we got to catch up. You know what I mean? Like, that's a tough spot to be in. And we saw it last year. It's part of the reason why Bill O'Brien got fired, right? Remember the playoffs last year? Remember that first quarter, the first half, right? It's Houston Texans. Here they go. They put up 26 points. 26 points or so in the first quarter, and they were down at halftime. I mean, it's like, what do you even do? You know, how do you possibly stop this team? When you see Patrick Mahomes routinely off his back foot hitting a ball 55 yards down the field with pinpoint accuracy. Like, these are things that we've never seen before. They're literally, here's how much Kansas City's changing the sport. Because if you're not watching the Chiefs much, one of the things that they've been doing from time to time, which has, I've never seen this in my life. I don't know if it's ever been done before this year with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. They're running the quarterback in motion this year. The quarterback is in motion. And it's not like, oh, let's send Patrick Mahomes out and we're going to put him at wide receiver and suddenly Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he's going to be the quarterback on this play. We're running the Wildcat. Like, one, with Mahomes, that would be dumb, okay? There's just no reason to get Mahomes and put him at wide receiver and have somebody else in a situation to throw the ball. But they're putting him in actual motion. Like, he's in shotgun. Mahomes goes, a couple of yards over from the center. Maybe he's lined up behind the left tackle. Then he'll go in motion. He'll get the snap in motion. Then they do all sorts of stuff. I mean, he can either just run over to the sideline. They did some sort of trickery last week where he almost caught the touchdown. They had a couple of handoffs and pitches and whatnot, and then there was Mahomes in the end zone. Travis Kelce didn't complete the throw. But they're doing that right now. Like, they're changing the game. It's so easy for Mahomes that they're just inventing new stuff for him to do. They're pushing the boundaries of the sport and of the position as we've known it. And when I look at that, I go, realistically, can the Steelers at 11-0 with a Hall of Fame quarterback, a likely Hall of Fame head coach, a guy in TJ Watt that could be Defensive Player of the Year, right now he's the odds-on favorite. Like, if you look at all of these guys and how stable this franchise is, the Super Bowls that have been won in Pittsburgh Steelers history, I look at them and I just don't think they're going to beat the Chiefs. I just don't see it. And that's the thing. I go through everybody, and I have a hard time believing that there's anybody in the NFL right now that can actually beat this team. And by the way, we're 13 weeks into the season. You know, this is week 13 of the year. We have a pretty good idea of who everybody is at this point. I mean, is there any team that you look at and you go, well, I'm not sure what exactly we're going to be getting on Sunday. Maybe they're still good. They just haven't figured it out yet. No. You're 13 weeks into the year. People know who you are. If you're inconsistent, you're generally bad. You know what I mean? Like, the Browns are a weird exception to the rule where they're inconsistent, but they're 8-3. Most teams are just bad or good. Like, you know who everybody is. So at this point, it just feels like it's Kansas City's league still. It feels like they're a step above everybody else. I can't look at any other team in the league and say for certainty that any team could actually beat the Chiefs. I have a hard time seeing it. And I would love to talk with you about it. I mean, do you think there's a team out there right now that can actually beat the Chiefs? 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. By the way, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Now, I'm Vince Quinn with you here on CBS Sports Radio, and James Graceffo is the fine producer and co-pilot of this program. Hello,
hi,
James.
Hi, Vince. How are you?
You sound lively tonight, James.
The Mountain Dew I just had.
Oh, well, there you go. Regular Mountain Dew,
regular
Code
Mountain
Red.
Dew.
Do they even make Code Red anymore?
They do. You can find it.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, they do.
So, you know,
I missed the Pitch Black Mountain Dew. Have you ever had the Pitch Black Mountain Dew?
I have not.
Oh, very good.
Yes?
Like a grape kind of Mountain Dew? Very good.
Huh.
Grape, can't find it anymore.
Grape-flavored products in general scare me.
Yeah, you got to broaden your horizons.
I get it's been a while. I haven't had a grape flavored anything outside of there's grape flavored Skittles, right?
There are.
Yeah, outside of those, which I probably just in the full hand worth of Skittles, I've gulped a few. You know what I mean? Outside of that, like, I haven't had anything grape.
Grape Jolly Rancher? No.
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 Grape Gatorade? No.
No. Oh, I only get one flavor of Gatorade. It's just the blue one. That's it.
Well, they make different kinds of blue. There are many blue Gatorades.
Yeah, the light powdery blue, if you will.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, gotcha.
I'm a very fancy
man. There's a cool blue, a blue cherry. There are many blue Gatorade.
That's true.
Just
no,
so you
I
know.
I should have been more specific. If I was sponsored by Gatorade, I would be more specific.
Well, you never know.
Yeah, one Gatorade, give us a call. We can dream. 855-212-4227. But let me ask you, though. I mean, do you honestly, like, do you think anybody can beat the Chiefs?
No. Do you want me to go further in depth than that? Or
I mean, you don't really have to,
it's just the shame of it. Watching, like, I don't know, what's the best movie you've ever seen or the best piece of music that you've ever heard or... It's kind of like that. It's just like these guys are operating on an entirely different level than everyone else. And it sucks for the Steelers just because, you know, early on in the year they weren't getting their due because they were beating up on some really bad teams. You know, the NFC East is on their schedule, as we know.
Yeah.
But they've shown that, you know, they've been able to win games when necessarily they've been up against, you know, all of these adverse things. They've dealt with adversity very well, including last week or Wednesday, if you want to go, which is weird to say we saw a football game on a Wednesday.
Yeah, on a Wednesday afternoon!
Even going back to the Titans thing, and Mike Tomlin has kept them together without a bye week. So they deserve their credit. They're 11-0. People can say it's a paper 11-0. I can't believe there's a such thing as that. It's just amazing to hear that people think that there is a such thing as a paper 11-0. But if they're going to play the Chiefs, and they can't get to Patrick Mahomes, which, I mean, two of their pass rushers are gone this year already. I mean, Bud Dupree's done with the torn ACL.
Which is sad.
And Devin Bush is out for the year. So it just seems like the Chiefs are just operating on a highly different level. And the only thing that I could see them mucking up the game is a bad weather game. The fact that they have the game in their building helps, but again, there are going to be fans, if any.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's like the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl, and we're just waiting to see who's going to play them, right?
Yeah.
It feels that way.
That's really what it feels like, and that's the thing. Like, for the Steelers, I wouldn't say they're a paper 11-0 either. You know what I mean? Like, I look at that team, and they've been through a lot, and they play smart football, the way they use Ben, getting the ball out quick, letting guys get some yards after the catch. They do a lot of good stuff. They've got depth on that team, you know? They're a very talented squad, but... You just look at the Chiefs and how good they are. I mean, like, Le'Veon Bell's their backup running back. You know, you forget that he's even on the team. They don't need him. It was a total luxury for them to get Le'Veon Bell. It just doesn't matter. And then he shows up there and he's crushing it. You know, considering what he was doing with the Jets, he's back. You know, Edwards-Helaire is amazing. They just have so many things going on. And for the Chiefs, it's crazy because what makes them so great is they have everything that's lined up. Like, they really feel like the Warriors. I can't say it enough. They feel like the Golden State Warriors when they really first got going. Once it got hot. Because what do you have? You know, especially now, because Mahomes signed the extension this year, but it's not really in effect. You know what I mean? He's not getting paid $50 million a year right now for what they've done over the past couple of years. So you look at it and you go, wow, I mean, they've got all the speed in the world at wide receiver, and it's not just speed for the sake of speed. It's talent and speed. You know, Sammy Watkins, to be not the number one wide receiver, he's like the fourth wide receiver on that team. Tyreek Hill is amazing. You look at all of that talent. Mahomes' ability to be accurate down the field, for Andy Reid to have the coaching to get that stuff open down there and use Mahomes and move him around, and the rules of the game favoring offenses, like all of it has just come together. They're the right place, the right time, the right match. And it's something I've never seen before. I've just never witnessed anything quite like this. Closest I can say that I've seen was the 2007 Patriots. And for them, they were just more talented than everybody. You know what I mean? Like Randy Moss, generational, rare talent. Tom Brady, obviously, one of the, you know, the greatest of all time. I wouldn't say he's the most talented quarterback of all time, but the greatest quarterback of all time. So that was a unique thing. But you look at the Chiefs now, and I mean, that's what teams want to be. They want to. You can't just be Randy Moss. You can't just be Tom Brady. People want to be the Chiefs. Speed wide receivers, spread out the field, and how do you tear people apart? So for them to be this good, where I look at the Steelers and I go, you know, I don't see it, is crazy. It's crazy. I mean, the only team I can think of right now that I could give a real shot, Green Bay. And because Aaron Rodgers is playing out of his mind. Him and Devontae Adams, who's having an amazing year this year. They've got a running game in Aaron Jones. The defense is not that great. I mean, it's an average defense, but you got to win a foot race. Like, the Raiders are the one team that's beaten the Chiefs this year. They put up 40 points. Can the Packers put up 40? Yeah. If they have to, if it's a playoff game, if it's shot for shot, do they have an opportunity to do it? Absolutely. And that's really the only team I can buy right now. That's it. So 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. I'm Vince Quinn. You can always join the show on Twitter. Give me a follow there as well, at It's Vince Quinn. Now, here's what I want to do when we get back. We'll take calls if you want to get in and talk about where the Steelers rank, if they can beat the Chiefs, if anybody can beat the Chiefs. But also, the Big Ten might be changing the rules for Ohio State. So I want to talk about that next. Keep it right here.
You're listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So, we're going to get to Ohio State in just a second. I did just have the biggest victory of the week, which is I left my phone charger here for a whole week. Didn't walk away. I thought that was almost an absolute given, that it would be gone. Still here.
Hey, you're one of these weird droid people, though, so nobody wants it.
Maybe that's it.
If it was an iPhone charger, and it was a good iPhone charger, like one of these new iPhone chargers that charges the phone in 20 minutes, it'd have been gone.
See, and maybe that's part of it, because this charger, I will admit, very crappy charger. Like, I plugged it in. Here's how bad this charger actually is. Or maybe it's the outlet. Either way, I put the charger in here last week at the beginning of the show. This is a four-hour morning show. Now, during those 4 hours, my battery went from about 12% to 18%, okay? So I was averaging about 1% an hour, which is excellent.
True story?
Yes, sadly. This is my life. It's Vince, you're a national radio host. Surely you have a nice phone and a nice charger. No, I do not. I am
True
living
story?
Paycheck to paycheck, okay? So I have my crappy charger here.
These are not that expensive for you to get a USB cable and a plug that you plug in.
Well, I didn't think it was that bad either, so I spent like whatever those things cost a couple of months ago, and sometimes it works exceptionally well, and other times it doesn't work at all. So that's my life, and I would imagine maybe somebody here wanted to steal it, and then they were like, oh, this dumb charger only goes up 6%.
I guarantee you somebody used it, though. No doubt.
It moved. I'll say that.
Somebody definitely used it, and they just left it there.
They're like, this
is they realized, I just needed this for, like, you know, the 10 minutes that it went 1% up, and then they left it there.
Yeah. Or they were like, oh, this is Vince Quinn's? And then they're like, wait, who is Vince Quinn? And then they're like, oh, he's the weekend overnight guy. They're like, I'm not touching his stuff.
A clown.
Yeah, I have no idea what my reputation is here. I don't know if anybody even knows that I work here.
You're a clown.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I feel sometimes, but that's okay.
But as long as security isn't talking to you at the desk when you walk in, then you're fine.
Yeah, I come in and nobody stops me.
And it's not like
me.
There's any security on this floor.
No.
When you walk in.
No,
because, you
not.
Know, totally safe.
Yes. And the check's still clear. So,
well, yeah, that's good.
That's all I need, really.
That's the check that, you know, it's kind of small, but it's something.
Yes, it's something. It's money, and I'll take it. Now,
right, I mean, you're going to spend it on a better phone charger, hopefully.
Someday.
Just a new phone altogether.
That might be a Christmas. Well, I've had a broken phone legitimately for about a month now. The phone's already like 5 years old. You know, my
screen crack?
The camera on the backside of the phone totally shattered.
Just get a new phone, man.
I should, and I've had it like this for like a month. One, I'm broke, and two, I just don't care enough.
Every three years, new phone.
Well, that's what it should be, and that's kind of my ballpark, but when I get the new phone, I'm getting a phone that's 2 years old. You know what I mean? Like, I go on Amazon.
Yeah, it defeats the purpose of doing that.
Well, no,
it defeats the purpose of getting a new phone.
No, because I'm always 2 years behind when I'm buying the phone anyway. So, like, in 2018, the phone that I got was the best phone or a good phone from 2016. You know what I mean? So, now I've got a really old phone. It's like 5 years old, but when I get a new phone this year, and I get a new phone from 2019.
I was doing that, and now that I have a brand new 2020 phone, I feel great.
Oh, well, high and mighty, aren't we?
Well, you know, deals, man. You got to find the deal.
Yeah.
You got to find the right deal.
Well, that would be nice. I don't know if I ever will. We'll see. But my charger made it for a week of being left in the office.
You've got to walk into the carrier and be like, hey, you know who I am. And, you know, you got to say, give me your best deal.
Do we have... See, here's the shame of it. Our phone sponsor, and this is not a rip on Geico by any stretch of the imagination. I actually am a Geico customer, so this is lovely. Maybe they'll give me a deal on my auto insurance. I should email my Geico rep and be like, look, I'm literally doing reads for you guys. Can you hook me up? But the answer will be no. But they're not a phone sponsor. You know what I mean? Like, if this was Verizon or T-Mobile, I could be like, hey, management, why don't you hook me up with a phone from Verizon? You know what I mean? That's just, yeah. Well, they might be like, who? And I'd be like, yeah. So I'm just not in that spot. I'm going to have to buy it myself. We'll see if I can figure that out. But also, I'm not going to ask for a phone as a gift. You know what I mean? Like, that's not.
But there's nothing wrong with asking for a phone as a gift.
Yeah, I don't know. If it's an old, see, if I'm doing like my 2018, 2019 model strategy, I think I could do that as like the big gift.
Then do that.
That might be it.
Then do that.
Yeah, there we go. So
just make sure you get a new phone.
We'll see. We'll see. No promises. Now, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. Let's talk about Ohio State for a minute here, because Ohio State, fascinating problem, right? What they're going through right now, you've got one of the best programs in the country and one of the best teams in the country. And there's been worry about whether or not they have a playoff future here because of a couple of things. I mean, one, COVID's just been running rampant through Ohio State, okay? They had a ton of cases going into this game. 23 different people connected to the program, including head coach Ryan Day, a couple of members of the offensive line. Like, they had a lot of problems going into this one. They weren't sure if they were going to play the game. Well, they did play. They played Michigan State. They knocked the snot out of them, 52-12. So that is a dominating win from a team that's been ranked number 4 in the country, and you get all these speculations around them. Oh, my God, is Ohio State, are they going to be able to make it? If they don't play enough games, are they going to be able to qualify for the playoff? Like, will people want to put them in the playoff? I don't know. But the main question, first and foremost, is will they play in the Big Ten Conference Championship? Assuming, of course, and this is a big leap, that they can beat Michigan. So I would say it's pretty safe that Ohio State, if they play next week, they're going to be in the Big Ten Conference Championship. Now, that would be the six-game threshold. They'd be 6-0, and they would be going. But here's the problem. Michigan might not be able to play. Michigan's had a serious increase in cases, and they might have to push off this game. So with that being the last game of the season, Ohio State would only have 5 games. And again, you need 6 to get to the conference championship game. So will the Big Ten change the rules? Well, that's the report right now. That is the speculation that's going around right now, is that the athletic directors, everybody involved with the Big Ten, and changing that rule of a 6-game threshold, that is going to get bumped down to 5 if they have to get Ohio State in. Now, you can look at it and go, this is favoritism for Ohio State, and this isn't really fair that they're doing it, and they're bending the rules for this big program, but they're not going to help out these smaller programs that, you know, are having great years or whatever. You know what I mean? It's going to be some level of favoritism and not liking Ohio State, which I understand. But here's the thing. The rule's dumb, right? It's a dumb rule. Like, it's not a rule that normally would apply in any circumstance in a big way. These teams typically play more than 6 games. So it's not like somebody every year, that's their strategy to win the Big Ten. You know what I mean? Hey, let's just play 6 games. And if we go 6-0 and we schedule the worst teams in the conference, so like, maybe we'll go and get to the conference championship. No, it's just not how it works. That's not how it's done. So the rule is antiquated. I mean, it's one of those things where you look in the book and you go like, wow, it turns out in the state of Oregon that crossing the street jaywalking, it's a felony. You'll go to jail for 30 years if you jaywalk in the state of Oregon. You're like, why is that rule even on the books? Who decided? I think this is an actual rule in either California or Oregon, where if you have a frog in a frog jumping contest, you legally cannot eat the frog or you will get jail time. Like, that is an actual rule in a real state in the United States of America today. You know what I mean? Like, there's just some rules that are outdated. So I look at this and I go, yeah, I mean, are they changing a rule very likely to get Ohio State in the conference championship? Yes. Is that a good rule? Is it a rule that anybody cares about? Did we know about this rule really before this season? Was it ever talked about? No. Like, this doesn't matter. It's a small rule. Just get rid of it or move it and get Ohio State in there. You know they're legit. They've proven it. There's really not much to question. They're clearly one of the best teams in the Big Ten, and you have to have them in that game. It's good for business. It's insane not to have them in there, especially when you go, yeah, we can't have them in because of the rule. You know what I mean? If you're going to have it where you go, okay, well, Ohio State's defeated, and obviously they're in the Big Ten, but Michigan's undefeated and Penn State's undefeated, which, I mean, that's a bizarre world for this year, but you get what I'm saying. If you have all these other undefeated teams and you're trying to split hairs to find some way to get Ohio State in, that's one argument. That's a football argument. But there's no dispute here that they're one of the best teams. Like, they need to be in the conference championship. So, yeah, are they changing the rules? Might it feel like favoritism? Yes, but it's common sense. I mean, I just really think it's that simple. So if you want to talk about it, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. I'm Vince Quinn with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, like I said, and I say many times on the show, feel free to hit me up on Twitter. Like, I know, hey, Sports Talk Radio, it's a phone call show, and I'm happy to take calls, talk with people on the phones. I like doing it. That's why I do the job. It's fun to talk to people and see how they feel about different stuff. But hey, you're busy. You're working. You know, hopefully you're not driving somewhere. But whatever you're doing late at night and you're listening to me, if you want to reach out on Twitter and be a part of the show, I'm thrilled to have that. I'm happy to read stuff. Like, here's an interesting thought. Because I opened the show talking about the Chiefs and whether or not somebody could actually beat them. And one of the arguments was, well, the Chiefs have been playing some close games. They're not blowing everybody out consistently. So maybe that's why the Chiefs are beatable this year. The Steelers, number one defense in the league. So the Steelers could beat the Chiefs. But then the third point, which is the most fascinating and the most relevant in all of this, is maybe there's just a COVID outbreak that wipes out the Chiefs, and that does it, and that shakes up everything. But, like, when you're hoping for a COVID outbreak on the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl, that's not exactly the kind of route you want to go down. You know what I mean? One, just on a moral level, that's very messy business to be wishing for that kind of thing. And two, what are the odds of that point in a major week in the playoffs? You know what I mean? Do you want to see it that way, just from a basic competitive standpoint? No. So
you're a loser.
Yeah, it's not a great, like, it's a good point. It's a good point to make, but it's not something that I would root for or you know, really dissect with any legitimacy. So anyway, we got just enough time. Let's sneak in one more call. Let's go to Anthony, who's in Michigan. Anthony, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, what's going on? How you doing this morning on the morning show?
That's right. It's a morning show. Thank you, Anthony. I'm doing wonderful.
All right. So I'm from Detroit. So in Detroit here, what we have to do is football fans, Lions fans, is adopt a team every year because we're Lions fans.
Yes.
That's the problem. So our little rule of game of thumb here is you adopt a team, you've had them for 3 years. So I've adopted the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay.
So I believe that Russell Wilson is playing at the peak of his game, speaking of Big Ten football, speaking of Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and his ninth year now in the NFL, is playing at the top of his game with his best receiving core he's ever had. Now, listen, I've seen a Megatron play for his whole career. And DK Metcalf, and I don't care what Jim Schwartz says.
Yeah.
DK Metcalf is the closest thing to Megatron that I've ever seen. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah,
and Chris Carson's holding down running game, but he was out for a little bit. Carlos Hyde stepped right in. He had 100 yards and a touchdown 2 games ago. The team's doing well. I think they can beat the Chiefs. I really do. I'm not saying they're going to like come over there and beat them up, but like I think they can put them up for a good fight in the playoffs.
Well, you know what it is? Wilson's going to have to put up 40. Like it's going to be typical Seahawks stuff. He's going to have to put up 40 points because the defense is garbage, right? Like, even for you adopting the Seahawks, we can admit that pass defense is one of the worst things you've ever seen, right?
I mean, Diggs was on the Lions, if you know that.
Well, yeah, I got about 10 seconds, Anthony. So, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to let you go, but I appreciate it. Here's the thing, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show, 855-212-4227. So, can anybody actually realistically, honestly beat the Chiefs? That's been the main question. But coming up next, Kyrie Irving said something completely ridiculous. Let's talk about that.
You're listening to The Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio.
listening to The Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, and it's midnight on the West Coast. We are in full-blown morning show mode.
Not a morning show.
It's a morning show. Caller last segment said it, too. It's a morning show. It's happening.
He doesn't know the day parts in radio. He doesn't understand
that. Is it after midnight, Graceffo?
Yeah.
So it's
true.
12 in the morning?
Again, you want to speak it all literal, like you're Captain Literal.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's not
only
how...
Only in this case am I Captain Literal.
Not how this works.
Yes, it does.
No.
It works for as long as I say it does. It's not a
not
lie
how,
if you believe it, is
not
the
phrase. Not how a day part works in this business. People don't know what... Again, I'm talking like people know what a day part is. That's the funny part.
Look, the people who listen to this show and enjoy the show, and people say very nice things to me on Twitter, far more
do
than
they?
I hear negative things. Yes, I'm actually surprised on how little hate I get doing this show. Because typically...
Well, people hate everything.
Well, exactly.
As you know.
And especially on Twitter, people hate everything. And when you're doing national stuff, I mean, you're talking about all of these different teams and fan... Well, I'm not talking about fan bases, but I'm talking to fan bases. You know what I mean? And it's so easy for people to say, like, dude, your take on this team sucks. I hate your guts. You should quit your job. You're an idiot. You
those
know what I mean?
Those are the most helpful people, I find.
Yeah. Those people, they do a lot for
I
you.
Like those people.
In some way, it has helped me because I'm just so... numb to the negativity at this point.
Well, yeah, and they think like, man, these guys must have a lot going on, that they're coming after you at 3:30 in the morning. But you know, whatever.
Yeah. So that's typically how it goes. But the people are usually very nice that listen to the show, and I get a lot of great feedback. And those people understand that this is a morning show. So
again, not
thank
a
you,
show.
Thank you to everybody that listens to the show,
we called
supports
an overnight
the show.
That's what we'd call it in this business.
No, we're
the host
over
is
that.
Leading you in the wrong direction.
It's the early morning show. That's all.
One more time.
Yeah.
If this was a morning show, my check would be much larger.
We're an underpaid morning show, but we're for hire.
are we? Are we package deal, me and you?
Yeah, I would say we're a package deal at this point. Right? Would
yeah, sure,
would you
not?
Want to be in that? No, you don't sound excited about
no,
being part
I'll
of
go
a package
anywhere,
deal.
Honestly.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not tied anywhere.
Oh, no, that's good. You sound really like you enjoy the show.
No, I mean it. That's just the way I talk.
I hope so. I
figure you know me by now.
I hope so. No, I feel like we have a good thing going here. So, this fine little morning show is doing well. Now, if you want to be a part of
depends
the...
Depends who you ask.
Yeah. Well, that... Perhaps. If you want to be a part of this morning show or give us feedback on this morning show, 855-212-4227. You can also hit us up on Twitter. I'm at It's Vince Quinn. And Graceffo is at No Game James CBS. Now, here's what I want to do, right? Because... Kyrie Irving, to me, is one of the most fascinating people ever. Like, he's clearly a guy that just thinks a lot. You know, there's some people who don't think at all. They just live literally right in the moment, and whatever's in front of them is all they can handle. Like, very, very non-philosophical people. Kyrie Irving has that space cadet in him. I like that. On some level, I enjoy that, and I feel like I'm a similar guy. I daydream about all sorts of random things. I think about the existence of humanity and how did it all begin. And like, I don't know. I just think about all sorts of different stuff like that all the time. I enjoy philosophical conversations. Kyrie seems like that guy. So on that level, I like him. But also, I just feel like he misses the mark all the time. He just always, he's got like some sort of good intention and it just goes a horribly wrong way. And he did it again. He just did it again.
What's wrong with you people?
Seriously. It's here's the thing, right? Here's what's so fascinating now about Kyrie Irving is he puts out a statement on the first day of Nets camp. Now, he's supposed to be available to the media. And he's not. Now, as me on the radio, you might be like, Vince, you need to have, you know, you're just being a media guy that's sour and whatnot. Like, I mean, generally for me in my personal life, I don't really care about Kyrie Irving and whether or not he's in front of a microphone. But here's the thing. When you're a professional athlete, that is the job, okay? That's part of the job. That is what makes this thing so big. This is why your salary is as much as it is. Because news outlets cover you, and they make money off of it, and it generates more business and exposure for you and for the league. That's why they do it in every sport. It's mandated because it's good for business. Whether you're good at press conferences, whether you hate press conferences, whatever it is, you have to be available to the media. That is the nature of the beast. That's how this whole thing works, right? So Kyrie Irving, first day of camp, puts out this statement, and it's not too long of a statement, but long story short, he's like, I want my work on the court to speak for itself, and I'm not talking to the media. Life hit differently this year, and it requires us, it requires me to move differently. So this is the beginning of that change. Now, I thought this was a one-off statement and Kyrie just saying, my mentality for this year is different and this is just an indicator of that. Here's a little, like, I'm just sending a message and for the first day I'm not going to meet with the media. Turns out, he doesn't plan to meet with the media at all, which, it doesn't work like that. I mean, just on the very simple level of one, it doesn't work like that. This is not going to work, okay? So he's going to get in trouble for this. He's going to get fined for this. He might get fined every single day or after every single game. There's going to be something of just fine after fine after fine. That's going to be the life of Kyrie Irving if he wants to actually do this. Because here's the thing. To allow Kyrie Irving to go through the season and not speak to anybody in the media. I mean, one, he is the second star player on one of the most exciting, like, big-time teams in the league in New York City, okay? How bad of an example is that for the league and the relationships between all of these media outlets and the league if they just let Kyrie Irving? They're like, hey, man, I mean, he's just turning over a new leaf, guys. You got to let Kyrie be Kyrie. That's not going to fly, okay? It'd be absolute chaos if they allowed that to happen. So he's going to get fined like crazy for this. But here's the other thing, too, is it feels like this is this idea of, okay, well, I'm going to stay away from the media. I'm just letting my stuff on the court speak for itself, and I'm just here to play ball, and I'm focused, right? And, like, that's a nice mentality. I can understand that. But this is going to cause more problems than anything. I mean, that's part of the issue here. This is going to be an issue by dodging the media. He's going to cause more problems, and not just for him, because they will dog him. I mean, here's the thing, all right? Imagine you're at a party, and it's college, and you're a single guy. You're looking around the room, and there's people there, you know, plenty of women. And you go, okay, well, hey, so thanks for coming to the party. You just paid $5. Here's your red cup. By the way, talk to anybody you want. You can't talk to her. What are you going to do? You're going to look at her all the time and go, oh, why can't I talk to her? What's up with her? Yeah, okay, you won't be so creepy about it, I hope. But you get what I'm saying. It's that idea of something you can't have is something that immediately drives you crazy, whether you actually care about it or not. If you had gone to the party, and you might never have looked at her all night. But the fact that it's forbidden would be something that would drive you crazy. Cookie in the middle of the table. Here it is. You might not want it. You're full. But once I say you can't have it, you're going to want to eat that cookie. So it's just basic psychology. So when he's in a spot where he's saying, I won't talk to the media all year, they're going to be more desperate to talk to him all the time. Like, so many conversations are going to be about the media because his whole goal is to dodge the media, and now it will become inescapable as much as it was previously just a minor inconvenience. You know what I mean? Like, why? Well, what's the trade-off for this? It's not worth it. And then for other players on the team, if I'm Kevin Durant, I want nothing to do with this. You know, he's going to be in front of the media all the time. Who's going to be the spokesperson for every single thing that wants to be asked to Kyrie Irving? It's going to be Durant. He's going to be the guy. That's just how he is, the other star player on the team. It's going to be, so Kevin, Kyrie did this tonight. How do you think he felt? You know, he's going to be like, I don't know, guys. But they're going to ask him every single night until he shows up and the fines make him surface. You know what I mean? It's just, it's silly. It's silly to not want to talk to the media, to be frustrated with the media. Like the guy who did it before, remember the Marshawn Lynch thing years ago? That was pretty funny. It was pretty funny because he got the technicality of the rule, which was you have to be available to the media. And all he did was answer literally every single question with, I'm here so I don't get fined. That was it. He says, hey, Marshawn, we saw you had like 5 touchdowns today. What did it feel like to set a record for touchdowns in a single game? I'm just here so I don't get fined. Okay, so in the first quarter, you guys had a bit of a struggle there. What did it feel like to get out of that rut once you got scoring and then things really picked up? I'm just here so I don't get fined. And that's what he did. He did that for weeks at a time. So if you want to do that game, like maybe Kyrie could get away with that for a little bit and only get fined a small amount of money, you know. But there's just no way he can dodge the media all year. It's just it's a crazy thought. It, for a guy who's been in the league as long as he's been and been a notable star for as long as he's been, it's just ridiculous. I don't know how he thinks that's going to work. So good luck to him. I wish him all the luck. Yeah.
One thing you forgot?
Yeah.
All this at the feet of a rookie head coach. Have fun, bud.
Yeah.
Steve Nash, who thought, this is going to be the easiest job in the world. I got it ready made. I'm on third base. I didn't have to go through any of the things that any other head coaching candidate has to go through. I literally picked up the phone, asked my buddy Sean Marks for the job, and I got the job. And now this is what I have to deal with.
At the very beginning.
Have fun.
It's terrible,
Enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Hope it goes well for you.
Yeah, good luck. 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. By the way, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Let's go to the phones. We'll talk to Josh, who's in Louisiana. Josh, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Well, I think there's one team that you forgot about. I've been waiting a while to tell you this, but the one team that I think could definitely beat the Chiefs will be playing them week 15 without their Hall of Fame quarterback, and that's my New Orleans Saints. I think that the Saints can definitely manage to pull it out against them. I looked this up while we were waiting. The Saints are averaging 30 points on offense while the Chiefs are averaging 31, but the Saints have the number one defense in football, and they're only allowing 20.5 points to the Chiefs, 21.6. So they're evenly matched teams, and the Saints are just without their quarterback due to injury. So I definitely think they may lose the game come this weekend, or the week 15, but I definitely think if they met in the Super Bowl again with the way the Saints' defense is performing and the way the Saints are a complete team right now, I definitely think they could pull it out against the Chiefs.
They've got a shot, right? Like, the record is pretty good, and you make a good case with the defense. My worry is, one, for whatever reason, the Saints just have, like, different stumbles and weird things that happen to them in the playoffs. So for year after year to be as far as they've gone, but also not really get anywhere, I just worry about that a little bit. And then you think with Drew Brees, it's like, okay, where's his arm going to be? With the worries about his arm, where is it at the end of a full postseason run? You know what I mean? Like, with he's coming off, what, 11 cracked ribs right now? Like, there's just a lot of things that I would love to say that the Saints could be a legitimate contender, and that makes this whole thing a little bit more exciting, but I just have a hard time making that leap right now. Josh, I appreciate it, man. Like, there's going to be a lot of people out there that go, yeah, the Saints could beat the Chiefs. Right now, I'd like to believe it. I can't believe it right now. I just look at the Chiefs, and I think they're going to win that game. So, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show, 855-212-4227. You can also hit me up on Twitter at It's Vince Quinn. Give me a follow there as well, at It's Vince Quinn. We go to Ed, who's in Chicago. Ed, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, Vince, how you doing?
Doing good.
Let me give my opinion on changing this rule for Ohio State. I think it's wrong. And the reason I think it's wrong, if you have rules or laws and you're going to change them just because the situation didn't work out the way you want, eventually people lose respect for rules and laws. And that's why I'm against it. And let me say this also. You do not have to win your conference championship to get in the 14th playoff. We've seen it twice. Alabama did it 1 year. Ohio State did it another year when Penn State won the Big Ten championship. So I think the important thing is Ohio State gets in the national championship, which they will, and I don't really care about the Big Ten championship. But I think the rules should be enforced.
Okay, and Ed, I appreciate it. Thanks for the call. He's worried about the legitimacy of the conference, but the thing is, how many rules have they really changed? I mean, are they changing everything? Are they doing this all the time to cater to Ohio State? You know what I mean? Like, this feels like a one-off with a very weird rule that's usually never in effect, never considered, in a historically weird year. I mean, they started the season at the end of October, you know? So, is it a little screwy? Does it look off for them to change this for Ohio State to get them in the Big Ten championship game? Yeah, but is there really any other choice? I mean, what's better for them? You know what I mean? What's better for college football? Is it better to get Ohio State in there, in that game, play that game, make the money off that game, ratings of that game? You know what I mean? Is it better for them to do that or say, hey, there's this rule that we forgot about that's suddenly coming into play. Who knows when it was written? And all of a sudden, this is going to keep Ohio State out? It's a weird thing. You know, that's a hard sell for me. So I look at this, and I can understand why they would do it, and they should. I think they should change it and get Ohio State in the Big Ten title game. If that's what they got to do, if they don't play Michigan. Now, obviously, you just hope they play Michigan and they outright win, and this isn't a conversation anyway, because I'm sure everybody, including, you know, Ohio State fans, whatever, they don't want to have to deal with all of these, like, well, you shouldn't have been in the Big Ten championship game anyway. You didn't deserve it. All this different, like, nobody wants to deal with that, you know? So changing the rule obviously puts you in that place. Being able to play Michigan, beat Michigan, that's the easiest solution to all this. Ohio State wins six games in a row because there's no way they lose to Michigan. And there you go. Everything just runs along. They're in the playoff. They're in the Big Ten championship game. All that different stuff. So if you want to talk about it, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. So we've been talking about the NFL. We've been talking about college football. We've been talking about losing my phone charger and it being here for a week. So very important things. Now, on the other side, I want to talk a little bit about it. There's a team right now that's just getting 14 national games for the NBA, and I can't be more excited to see where this team goes. We're going to talk about them on the other side. Keep it right here.
You're listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Look out on the street now. The party's just beginning. The music's playing.
You're listening to the Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, so we're going to get to the Detroit Lions here in just a minute because it's a very fascinating and strange situation that's happening in Detroit right now concerning the Lions. But another thing I wanted to mention real quick, I've been doing research on the history of Christmas. Mind-blowing stuff, right? Did you know that, like, almost everything affiliated with Christmas is a pagan tradition in some way? Do you have any idea about this stuff, Graceffo? Like, my mind's just, it's obliterated the past week.
No, not really.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, basically, it turns out a lot of the stuff that's affiliated with Christmas, for example, you know, December 25th, being holly and jolly and merry, and, like, all those wreaths, all that stuff's ancient Romans. Like, they were doing it praising Saturn. So that's, like, that's where most of that came from. Then it turns out, like, half of the things from Santa, which is, like, the reindeer, stuffing stockings, trying to think of what else, elves. Turns out that's all based on Odin. Like, the Nordic god, Viking god Odin, you know? So I was like, oh, my God, like, Santa is Odin, basically? Yeah. Turns out Santa's basically Odin. Blew my mind. Like, do you know, because here's where it comes from. I was looking into Yule, right? So you hear of, like, Yule logs. What does that mean? Yeah, it turns out Yule was a Nordic holiday where they, like, Odin would show up at people's houses and put, like, swords in their boots or something. I don't fully understand what Yule was, but apparently that's where a lot of this stuff comes from.
So the reason why someone will have a PS5 under their tree is because someone had a sword in their boot?
Yeah, in like the 900s.
In the 900s?
Yeah. All right. So I saw great. That. Yeah, I know. I was like, wow, this is weird, man. This is really trippy stuff. But that's where it came from. A lot of it is Saturnalia. It's called in like the 400s. And then you have Yule, and they started picking up all that stuff around the 900s. And now you've got Christmas. Like, that's where most of it came from. So
I can't
facts.
Wait till December 26th, I got to tell you.
26th?
Yeah.
Why?
Because then Christmas is over.
It's not. No, it's not. It's not, right? Like, Christmas goes till at least New Year's Day now.
I don't think so.
It does.
Not when you live alone with no Christmas decorations.
Oh, well, for you, I mean, it could never start as far as you're concerned. You could never have it.
No.
So that's a whole different story. But for the outside world, if you walk into a department store.
This great time of year where your credit card bill goes up $300 a month.
Yeah.
Awesome, yeah.
Yeah, great. That's definitely a thing. It's hard to find gifts this year, by the way. Like, because for me, I always go, like, get me a gift card somewhere, you know, or buy me tickets to a concert or something like that. You can't really do that now, you know, unless you really believe that we're going to be fully operational at, like, Fauci said with stadiums, which was huge. For him to say, hey, September next year, we could see packed NFL stadiums. It was like, Sign me up for that. You know, I would love to see that. But for now, to ask for a Christmas gift of like, hey, get me concert tickets for September. Let's hope it happens. I don't want to do that. You know what
that's
I mean?
That's a bad idea. Don't do that.
Yeah. So that's the thing. It's like
get a phone and consider yourself done.
Well, I do need a phone, and maybe that's the answer. But generally, it's just like, and it's not just for me, because although I think the holiday is mostly just for me. It's finding gifts to get other people. The restaurant gift card isn't quite the same as it was. You can still do that, and especially for small business, local business, I'm told like get a gift card. You know what I mean? But it's not the same as it was before. So just figuring out gifts now has been a very complicated thing. I think we're all going through that. But, hey, if you're able to give and receive gifts, you're doing all right, all things considered. So, anyway, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. I'm Vince Quinn with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We started the hour talking about Kyrie Irving, who... Kyrie, he's decided he's going to ban the media for this year. Like, he's just not going to talk to the media. And I was discussing how that's just a completely ridiculous plan.
That's absolutely ludicrous.
Yes. Now, that's how I feel. And somebody suggested that this should apparently be a boxing match between me and Kyrie Irving now. I don't know how it got to this point. I don't think it was that
are
hostile.
Are you the Jake Paul or are you the Nate Robinson in this equation?
Honestly, I'm the Nate Robinson. Like, the guy's an NBA athlete. He's going to wipe the floor.
Yeah, but
you don't
necessarily know if he can put a 1-2 combination together.
I know that I can't. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing.
Well, you look like you can move a little bit.
I've got fast hands. I'll say that. I've got fast hands, but I've got toothpick arms. Like, I'm not beating anybody up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I can't really see you beating anybody up.
No, it's just it's not in my demeanor. It's not my style.
Which, by the way, yeah. You didn't really say anything that was that far out of school that Kyrie Irving would want to fight you.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I don't do this stuff. I try to, if it ever gets on some like, the most personal thing that I've done doing these shows has just been with Antonio Brown and not wanting him in the league. Because he's just had so many different incidents, off the field, on the field, all this different stuff. From, like, Antonio Brown, that guy, I don't trust him with anything, and I wouldn't have him in the league. I just wouldn't. But outside of that, I mean, and even for that, as far as some people can get in terms of being personal, like going after these guys, going after these owners and all, like, that's not really my scene. You know what I mean?
People don't understand the value of talking to the media every day. They just think it's, you know, part of the job, and players got to do it, and they don't want to do it. It's the only reason that sports matter, right?
It helps.
Like, we can agree that the only reason sports matter to people is that you hear from these people all the time. And if you didn't hear from these people all the time, you would not care about them. You would not care about your local sports teams. You would not care about the whomever is playing at 1-4 later today if you didn't hear from these people and knew who they were.
Yeah, no, it helps throughout the course of a season, especially like for the NFL, right? For them, you get all this stuff. Okay, you've got the draft or free agency, and you talk to people after they get signed. When you have training camp, mini camp, you're talking to people. Preseason, you're talking to people. So it's not just the games. Like, you need that press. I mean, hell, for NBA players, they do shoe tours in China. You know what I mean?
And, like, and it's the reason why these are all billion-dollar enterprises.
Yes!
That's what people just don't understand. And that's what Kyrie Irving doesn't understand.
Yeah, I mean,
to be frank.
Those
he doesn't understand
man.
That the money that he is paid with comes from the fact that his league is a billion-dollar enterprise based on speaking to the media, or that's one of the principles of it.
It provides content. I mean, just on a simple level. Okay, if I'm doing, like, I had a show growing up that was a great show, and they still do it to some degree in my hometown, where it's a 30-minute sports morning show, right? And all it is like, hey, here's the local team. They just played. Here's what the game was like. All right, here's some stuff after the game. And you have two or three guys at the podium going, yeah, well, we lost today. It was a tough one, this and that. Like, those little sound bites give people stuff to talk about, which makes your league more relevant. You know, you need that kind of stuff. It's just it's the nature of doing business. And it is why the leagues are so popular, in part because there's something to talk about outside of just the games. It's these guys and what they have to say.
So when Tom Brady gives the Tampa Bay media 2 minutes and 30 seconds last week, was that really good for anyone? No, except for Tom Brady. There you go.
It was good for me.
It was good for
I enjoyed it.
No one except for Tom Brady, because he clearly didn't want to be there, doesn't see the value in it, doesn't care about it.
Yeah.
But Tom would be nothing without people caring about him.
Well, exact. It's caring about you and caring about the sport and getting the ratings. Like, all that stuff is tied together, you know? So if you want to say, oh, well, I don't want to talk to the media. I mean, on some small scale, if a single player decided, like if Kyrie theoretically went the whole season and never talked to anybody in the media, does that ruin the NBA? No. But it hurts the Nets, and it hurts the league a little bit in a small way because he's a prominent player that's not talking, regardless of what he says, good thing or bad thing. It's something that's going to be on sports radio shows. It's going to be on TV. Like, it just gets you in the and there's more competition than ever for eyeballs. You know what I mean? So that kind of stuff, it's just beneficial.
Well, he understands the role of the media because he goes on every podcast he can find to talk about his flat Earth theory and the fact that he thinks he's going to be a co-head coach of the Nets this year.
Yeah.
So he understands the role of the media. He just wants to make the job for everyone else surrounding the Nets harder because in his mind, It's hard for him to get up and play basketball every day.
Yeah, so
that's the bottom. It's hard for him to get up and play basketball every day. So I'm going to make everyone else's life harder.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it's going to go. This is going to backfire, and it's typical Kyrie. That's
like,
just
it
the
makes
life that
you
he
think
lives.
Whether or not he really wants to play basketball.
I think he does. He's just misguided. He's just misguided on a lot of this stuff. He thinks about it, and he comes to he's got reasoning behind the things he does. I just think his reasoning is off. That's all it is. He's just he's a fascinating guy, man. But I don't think this is a good idea for him. It's not good for the Nets. It's not good for anybody. Now, if you want to talk about it, 855-212-4227. I'm Vince Quinn with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, here's the other thing. I do want to go to Detroit here because we're talking about the power of the media for a minute there. Let's talk about the power of politicians. Right now, there's almost 40 politicians in Michigan that signed a letter petitioning the Lions to sign Robert Saleh, who is the defensive coordinator for the 49ers. They're petitioning the Fords to hire him as the head coach of the team. Now, for them, it's a publicity thing, right? Like, it's a good, smart move politically, the same way that I was saying with Kyrie. It's like, you got to be in the media, and there's value in that. For them to talk about the Lions and have this letter and have it public, it's good media.
Like, yeah, the same way the Santa Clara politicians decided that the 49ers can't play there anymore. It's kind of like that.
Well, yeah, I don't think they got as rosy a response on that one. But this idea of sending out a letter and going, hey, this is all of these public officials, and we're all saying the Lions should sign this guy. I mean, one, for me, as a Lions fan, unless I think Robert Saleh is the number one candidate for the job, like unless I really believe that he's the guy to get. Now, I think he's a really good option as a head coach, and he should get a job this year. But is he my first choice? That's the difference. And for me, he's not. Because the thing is, it's an offensive league. You have Matthew Stafford, and you gotta use that while you got it. So give me an offensive head coach. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm a Lions fan and I see these politicians who, I mean, let's be honest, who knows what their sports takes are? You know what I mean? Hey, this guy's a state legislator. How does he feel about run-pass ratios? What's his feeling on yards per attempt? You know what I mean? Like, I need to know those things.
They're clearly smelling blood in the water because Sheila Ford Hamp is the most hated woman in the city of Detroit. So they're like, anything we can do to get people on our side to not realize how hated we should be or how hated we are, we're going to gang up on the public figure who owns the Lions, one of the things this city cares about. So we're all going to gang up on this person to have our voice heard and basically say, oh, what you're doing with the Lions is wrong. You haven't competed in however many years. Well, it's none of your business. You are an elected public official to make the public better. The Lions are a privately owned organization. You have nothing to do with them. Period. End of story. Now, they just want to gang up on this poor woman who has nothing better to do, and these guys have nothing better. Hey, didn't your governor almost get kidnapped, by the way?
Yeah.
Maybe you got other things that are more important in your city or state. I'm just saying. Look. It's the popular thing to do in that city to gang up on this woman. And they're just joining in with the pitchforks. And they say, here's our suggestion. We couldn't pick Robert Saleh out of a lineup. But you know what? Take it under advisement and make us a part of your day. Because we're all that matters because we hold a public office.
Well, yeah, and here's the other thing that's weird about it, because why would they do that, right? What is the impetus? That's a nice, fun, fancy word that I never use. What is the impetus for these state legislators to go and write a letter to the Lions and say, hey, you need to sign Robert Saleh as your head coach? Well, it turns out he's a Michigan guy. He's from the state of Michigan. He has ties for a lot of different reasons to the state. So they want him to be the head coach because it's a good story and he's a local guy. But here's the thing. Like, I get the value on some level of having somebody local, but when it comes to the head coach of my football team, does that really matter? Does that really matter? I mean, how many guys are actually from the city of the team that they play for? You know what I mean?
City you're talking about. What else is going on in Detroit?
Your mic sounds like you sound like you're underwater or something.
Well, you got to think about what's going on in the city of Detroit. What else is going on in the city of Detroit that people care about?
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. I'm not going to tell you I'm plugged in on Detroit and what's going on there. But like for the Lions, it's just, does getting a guy from Michigan, is that really on a checklist? Is that something you actually worry about? When you have a head coach for whatever opening it is, let's say the Bears have an opening this year. The Texans are going to have an opening. Does it matter if they're from Houston or if they're from Chicago? You just want the person that's the best person for the job. That's all you want. Who is the best head coach? If they happen to be from there, that is like, that doesn't, if it was a tie, that doesn't even break the tie for me. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't do anything for me having a local person be the head coach. If it's a college team, maybe. I think a college thing can matter a little bit more. You've got to get local recruits. You need to know people within the area. Maybe those things give you a heads up, and that's going to help you in the job. But when it's a pro game and you're signing free agents and drafting people from everywhere, I just don't know what it does for you. So to emphasize it like that and make it public like that and put pressure like that, if I was a Lions fan, that would annoy me a little bit. That would bother me. So 855-212-4227 if you want to get in and talk about it. 855-212-4227. I'm Vince Quinn with you here on CBS Sports Radio. You can always join the show on Twitter at It's Vince Quinn. Coming up next, the NBA is not testing for marijuana. Let's talk about it.
You're listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio.
Listening to the Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
Let's light one up, shall we? Yes, it's a fine morning here. And what's happening right now in the NBA, randomized drug testing, out. Not doing it anymore. Good. Good for them. What's the point? I mean, you look at enough states, at least medically it's cleared. And for enough guys, because I've talked to some people like NFL athletes, for example, and they've said that they used it. They used it when they played because it helped them recover from injuries. You know what I mean? Like, if it helps you physically get back and play, and it's not like it's helping you really cheat. You know what I mean? For PEDs, the thing is, okay, well, this can make people stronger. This can make people faster. It gives them an unfair advantage. Not everybody's taking them. So for them to do that, it's cheating. But have you ever been in any sort of athletic situation where you go, hey, this guy's smoking pot. It's not fair. It's not fair. Like Mike Tyson, apparently, before his fight last weekend, first fight in like 15 years, he lit up. He said he lit up before the fight. He lit up after the fight. It was a draw. Does that mean he should have won? Or he should have been forced to lose? Like, it's just, he decided to do it. It is what it is. And you live your life.
I want
to
eat his children.
Praise be to Allah, I think is how it finishes that quote. So you look at it right now. I mean, there was even a bill recently, because for the NBA to go and say, we're not going to randomly drug test players for marijuana anymore. For them to do that, you also think of where things are as a country, not just with medical clearances, but recreational clearances. There was a bill in the House recently that got passed by the House. I think it got rejected by the Senate. But you get what I'm saying. There's enough people in the country now that they, even if they don't do it, they don't care if most people do. You know what I mean? Snoop Dogg is a national icon. How much do we really care? You know, like, it's just, that's the world that we live in now. The attitudes on marijuana have changed. So for the NBA to go, do we want to get players and suspend these guys? Is that what makes sense for the league? Does that make us a better sport? Does it take care of our athletes? They decided it hasn't. And whether or not you think that's the right call, I think it's a great idea. Doesn't harm anything. It doesn't lead to crazy erratic behavior. You know what I mean? It's like, I look at this and I go, okay, as long as these guys are doing it responsibly, like everything else. I mean, if these guys are going to smoke and then get behind the wheel of a car, okay, you've got big time issues, right? Like, that is a problem. You prosecute those people to the full extent of the law. That is dangerous behavior. But if these guys are beaten up, they're sitting at home and they're not going anywhere, and especially if it's legal in their state to do it, because that's going to be the only differentiator at this point, different teams, different states, different levels of criminalization, all that kind of stuff. So those are doing it legally in their state. I don't care. I don't care. And it seems pretty clear the league doesn't either. So good for them. Why bother? You know, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Now, here's the other thing. And on a related note, right? A small story in the NFL that you've heard a shocking amount of times. Josh Gordon is back from a suspension. You know how many times he's been suspended? And Graceffa, I'll ask you honestly, do you have any idea how many times Josh Gordon's been suspended?
Six.
Seven.
Seven. I was off by one.
Yeah, but
I missed it by that much.
The guy's like 29 or 30. He was drafted in 2012. By the way, in the supplemental draft, which is one of the rarest things ever, he's drafted, I believe, in the second round of the supplemental draft. And for Josh Gordon, incredible talent, right? That's why he keeps getting back into the league. But one of the things, it's been alcohol at some points, it's been marijuana at other points, and he's been suspended for that. And now the league is getting to a point, the NFL is getting to a point where they're not suspending people for marijuana either. So this is the kind of movement that we're seeing in sports. They're looking at the athletes and going, we're not going to kick these guys out of games, talented players out of games because of, you know, a recreational drug.
Well, there are two sides to that coin.
Okay.
Josh Gordon has a real problem.
Well, like, yes.
Can we understand that Josh Gordon has a real problem? He's been enabled six or seven times because he comes back every time, and the league has just simply refused to have him get the necessary help that he needs to make sure it doesn't happen again. Now, it's hard to do that. We're all people at the end of the day. We all have vices. Josh Gordon's vices happen to be very powerful. Now, the NFL can step in as much as they want, and it doesn't necessarily mean Josh Gordon is going to stay clean, but they've enabled him to some degree because he's been able to come back after seven times.
Well, yeah, and the
suspensions, he has a real problem.
And he's admitted that, and for him, it's been different things over the course of all of this. He's been through a lot, that guy. Now, I'll say this. One, it's a testament that he can have that kind of substance problem.
This is a guy who had to pawn his Super Bowl ring because he has no money.
Yeah, but I'm saying that for him to have the problems that he's had, the demons that he's dealt with, and still be able to be let back in, I mean, is a testament to him and working to those points, because you do have to have meetings with, you know, Goodell or whoever from the league office. There are certain expectations they have. I'm sure that he's had to see counselors for different things, and that's how you get back in. So for him to do that and get back in so many times, I mean, that is impressive. Like, it's a hard spot for him to be in. And I feel for him in that way, but the guy keeps coming back. He keeps creating these opportunities for himself. He doesn't just go off the cliff and stay there. So that's one thing to his credit. And here's the other thing, too, is the NFL, and, you know, I'm not sure if this has exactly been the same way with the NBA, but the NFL, the way they've treated a lot of this stuff, when guys had substance abuse problems, they would suspend you. And here's the thing that really bothered me. They would remove you from the facility. You know what I mean? You couldn't go, if you're an NFL player, especially during the course of the season, that's your world. You know what I mean? Like, you're spending time with your team all the time. Your routine of watching things and working out.
Well, the worst thing for an addict is free time.
Yes, and that's the thing. Like, why?
Josh Gordon suddenly had a bunch of free time.
Yeah, so it's not good. And I think the NFL's my understanding is they've started to allow people to have connections to the team. But it used to be, if you had some sort of issue and you got let go, then you were just on an island. And I felt for those people. You know, that's a tough spot to be, because you need a support system to get you out of those kinds of problems. And for the thing that, you know, the team that you're so associated with and spend all this time with, for that to go from something you have every day to not at all. I think for some people, the value of a coach, right? A coach that's really done a lot for you, that's given you something in terms of what it means to be an adult. What it means to be responsible, what it means to work in a team, somebody who just treats you well, whatever it is. Like, some coaches do that. Some coaches are that guy for players. You're just removing that from the equation. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think that helps anybody. You know, so those rules have gotten better, and it's changing in the NFL. So now Josh Gordon's coming back in. He's going to get another opportunity. I don't know what he's going to be as a player. I don't know what his role is going to be. I mean, obviously, he's in Seattle. You have DK Metcalf. You have Lockett. So he's going to be down on the depth chart a little bit, but he still is a talented guy. And for him to keep getting these chances, as much as it's a sad story, it is also a credit to him. So for him, for Josh Gordon, I'm wishing him the best, and I hope he figures everything out, and I hope he stays in the league. But this is where the trend is going, where marijuana offenses aren't being tested in all these different leagues. And I support that. If it helps these guys get healthier, if it helps them deal with anxiety, whatever medical reasons that people take it, and why it's legal in certain states, as long as they show up and they're a responsible player, as long as they're not doing it before games, you know what I mean? As long as they're doing it responsibly, doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me one bit. So 855-212-4227. Let's go to Curtis, who's in Cleveland. Curtis, you're on the air.
Hey, man, they have no business testing for weed anyway. It's legal in more than half the states in the United States. Legal alcohol, legal weed. I can go right across the street buy some weed right now. This is ridiculous. And I'm glad the league finally figured it out. What are we talking about? A guy smoking weed and drinking? I might go across the street buy some weed right now, man. This is crazy.
Yeah. No, it is crazy. But that's the thing.
What are we talking about
here? It's getting better. It's getting better.
What are we talking about? Somebody got smoked some weed? I'll go buy some weed.
I hear you. I've got no problems with it whatsoever. He's really fired up about it. And I get that. But man, you look at this whole thing, and yeah, it's nice that they're finally changing the rules. It seems like they're starting to figure this out. And here's the other thing, too, just on some basic level, if you're a professional sports league, you don't want to find more reasons to suspend your talent. You know what I mean? You don't want to go out of your way. Like, here was my problem with Goodell earlier in his tenure as the commissioner of the league. He used to find different ways to get guys and kick them out of games. 2 games, 4 games, a year, whatever it was, it felt like he was heavy-handed when it came to suspensions. Like, he was looking for reasons. I don't know if he wanted to set some sort of disciplinary tone, like he thought the league was out of control. I don't know. But when you're a sports product and your goal is getting guys that are your best talent, your most sellable talent, and you're saying you can't play anymore, at least for a couple of weeks, that doesn't do anything for you. Nothing. So for them, for the NBA to go, you know, randomized marijuana testing, we don't really need that anymore. Good for them. It's a step in the right direction. Take it off your plate. Let the guys play. So 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. And as we talk about all that stuff, another small story with the NFL outside of Josh Gordon, really fascinating. We've got another guy who, he's had some troubles, man. Isaiah Wilson, first-round pick for the Titans. It's been a mess this year. Absolute mess. And it's been a lot of different things. He was at a college party that got busted at one point. I don't know how big of a deal that is. He just graduated college. This happened in August. But he got cited. Not a good look. Shortly thereafter, he's got a DUI. That's a bad look, being a rookie player in the NFL. So not good for him there. Now, this isn't a discipline thing, but he's been on the COVID list twice. And now, here's where things really pile up for this kid. He's gotten to a point where He just got suspended by the Titans for the game this week. We're talking about a first-round pick this year. Kid was 29th overall. And for him to be in this kind of situation with Vrabel and the Titans, not good. Kid's played 4 snaps the entire season. They were all last week. One of them was on special teams. So, not what you're looking for. And here's the thing, too, is when you have a year like this, you can look at certain guys and you can get an idea of what the trajectory is. You know what I mean? You look at Justin Jefferson, for example. Maybe he's a Hall of Famer, right? Maybe. Maybe he is. He's having an amazing season. But also, it is 1 year, and he is a rookie, and there's a lot of time left. But you can say, at the very least, he won't be a bad receiver. You know what I mean? There's no reason to look at Justin Jefferson and go, you know, I think this is going to be a bust. He just doesn't have that floor anymore. When you play like this for a year, you don't have that kind of floor. It's elevated. You look at Isaiah Wilson, and you see the kind of season that he's having, and you go, you know, I can't say he's going to be a bust yet for any kind of certainty, but I certainly don't feel like he's going to be good. This is a really ugly situation for a young guy to be in, and I hope he figures it out. Whatever he's got going on, I hope he figures it out. So 855-212-4227. We go to Brandon in Wisconsin. Brandon, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Well, you know, my thing is that I think there's a strange dichotomy between marijuana users and the way the league treats it. You know, what do you think of when somebody is a pothead? You know, they are lazy, lethargic. They're, you know, generally don't care about the things around them. But you also have these athletes that are performing at the highest level, and they're using it. I mean, what are they doing when they legalize weed? They expunge former convictions because they know that it's not something that's harming society. It's a nonviolent offense, and I think that if you use marijuana to calm down a little bit at the end of a high intensity situation such as the NFL or the NBA, I would not hold it against you.
Yeah, and for the other thing is too, you think of these leagues and you just think of life in general. Certain people have mistakes, they commit crimes, whatever it is, and they get other opportunities. So for these guys to have these suspensions, and some cases you get kicked out of the league for using pot back in the day, like that's a terrible way to go. So it's a waste of talent, and it's an unnecessary waste of talent.
I 100% agree. I mean, you have people in the league now that have been accused of and even convicted of much more serious offenses, and you know, nobody bats an eye. So I just really don't understand this whole suspension for Josh Gordon. I'm glad he's back. You know, he's a nonviolent offender. He's a great receiver. I hope he does well.
Yeah, hey, and Brandon, I appreciate it, man. If you want to get in, 855-212-4227, that's how you join the show, 855-212-4227. I'm Vince Quinn. You can always join the show on Twitter at It's Vince Quinn, where I said earlier in the show, I haven't gotten negative tweets about the show in quite some time. Oh, boy, I got one tonight. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. This show is awful. That's the whole tweet. That's all I got. By the way, they've been constantly tweeting me for the past 20 minutes to say, so it's like, all right, pal, you've been listening for 20 minutes. Turn the channel off. You know what I mean? It's funny how people operate, but that's what you get on Twitter. If you have nice things to say, I will certainly appreciate that. You can join the show at It's Vince Quinn. Give me a follow there as well. I'm on the quest for 5K, Graceffo. I'm not quite there yet. But it's a small milestone, and hopefully we get there soon.
I couldn't care less.
Yeah.
If anyone follows me or anyone else.
I will incentivize you. If I hit 5K, I'll buy us a pizza one night. How about that?
Done.
There you go. So now Done. You've got incentive to push me.
I mean, I can't make anyone follow you on Twitter, so there you go.
Yeah, I don't think I can make anyone follow me either.
Can make anyone follow them on Twitter.
I disagree with that, but that's a nuanced argument for another time if I really wanted to kill time this evening on the show. But there's a lot of stuff to talk about. So I want to get to, by the way, the MLB might have struck gold, okay? They might have come up with a totally ingenious and somewhat evil idea. I want to get to that on the other side. Again, if you want to hop in, 855-212-4227, or you can join the show on Twitter at It's Vince Quinn, and we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.